Welcome to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews and Company. Oh, we've got a full house today. This is WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. The first half of this show is all about the Associated Black Charities, my favorite charity, and we'll celebrate their annual fundraiser gala on Saturday, June 10th at Martin's West. However, this is tonight, we're going to talk about why it's important to support the Associated Black Charities. That's going to be in the front half, and we have a ton of guests for that segment. The second half is going to be Jeffrey Kendrick, who is executive director for MacVet. They've got a big event coming up. He's a retired Air Force personnel, and we're going to hear a lot more about it. And then we'll end up with Cher Good. Let's get serious and recharge health, wellness, and fitness expo. So it's a full service event tonight. Stay with us. We'll be right back with none other than Diane Bell McCoy, the president and CEO of Associated Black Charities. Come on back. Well, we are here with Diane Bell McCoy, the president and CEO of Associated Black Charities, and I can give you all of her resume, but we don't have that kind of time tonight because she has accomplished so much. I met her when she was with Mayor Schmoke and in his cabinet, and she's gone on to be the president of the Enterprise Zone and I don't know, Empowerment Zone, and I don't, what else? You've been with the Casey Fox, but
Making a difference.
Anything to get into the community and stir that pot and make folks change. But you're doing something that's really important here, mm-hmm. and it's as the leader of the Associated Black Charities with your board, and what you're doing right now is really short of amazing with the work that you're doing. And we've sort of changed a little bit of the mission. And so would you care to just bring us up with that? And then we have several guests that you've brought with us tonight to talk more about Associated Black Charities and why we're so important to this community.
Thank you, first of all, Marcia, again, for having me on the show and having lots of our fellow guests along with me on the show to talk about Associated Black Charities. I think many people don't know, first of all, that Associated Black Charities is not an association of charities.
Okay.
There's a long history for that, starting from the founding of it to make sure it was first and on the top of the list when it came to choosing a charity. But Associated Black Charities has become very, very serious about closing the wealth gap mm-hmm. for African Americans. Mm-hmm. But not just serious about that, we're also very public and very clear that means addressing the issue of structural racism.
Well, what is that, first of all?
Well, that's about lots of those issues inside of policies, inside of systems that really limit opportunities for black and brown people. You know, we talk about this and think about racism from a personal perspective, but I think much of our community is clear now that the Freddie Gray, that those situations are really built inside of policies that transportation that don't give people access, built inside of systems that don't give people access to even know what they don't know. They don't have a network to make a difference in terms of having a career, nevertheless having a job. They're built inside of policy in terms of police. We're beginning to address those policy issues and address how systems limit outcomes. But long before what happened 2 years ago, ABC's been very clear we've got to call it out. We've got to create champions to be a part of dismantling this issue of structural racism, whether it sits inside of policies, helping state lawmakers understand the role of structural racism, helping city council members understand it, helping everyday citizens, white and black, be part of the champion for making that difference. But not just that, but also actually programs that will make a difference in terms of helping individual citizens. So the need to pay attention to having someone have a career mentor, for example. Mm-hmm. We sometimes assume if you give somebody a job, that's enough. That's
right.
Really not enough for
right.
people of color who don't necessarily have a network, who don't know what they don't know. So in addition to focusing on those policy issues or doing training around structural racism, we also have programs that actually connect people, black and brown people, to other professionals that are making a difference and wanting to give back and helping them learn how to do better in moving up the ladder or do better in staying attached to work. So a volunteer career mentor program is a part of the strategy that we actually train volunteers to actually give some tools and some knowledge to somebody going to work who's have a skill training but may not know the behaviors, may not know how to manage the environment. And many of us who had that network, we learn how to manage that environment. We reach out to somebody. That's not an assumption you can assume anymore that everybody knows how to do that. And many of our community, first time moving into the space, may not know. And so that's one of the tangible, actual, in addition to the training, in addition to the advocacy, in addition to the policy issues, we also fund grants for workforce, focusing on STEM. But the Volunteer Career Mentor is a clear tool. And in the audience, we have someone here today at the station who is a volunteer career mentor who's actually making that difference for a young person.
Well, we're going to talk to Eric in a few moments. But what I really want to ask you, because you really talked about the top all the way down and
yes.
to the side and across. So there's a holistic approach to how you're interpreting this. I guess one of the questions that I have that's really fascinating is how does a senior executive of one of these major institutions really acknowledge the fact, or how do you help them acknowledge the fact that they indeed have institutional racism?
Well, I'll give you an example. In one instance right now, we're actually serving as a coach. Where we're taking a senior leadership of a major company, and we're actually doing a coaching sessions with him and helping him get comfortable to understand what it is and what it isn't. Ultimately, the goal is to have his entire organization and leadership go through training. And we partner in terms of with other organizations that are doing very much the same in Baltimore. Actually, today I know that we provided an all-day training session for a major nonprofit and helping them first just get comfortable in understanding what structural racism is, to come away from this conversation that is about personal in terms of that, to let them see how their own organization can be a part of limiting outcomes for people of color. So there are various tools that we'll use, including we have a policy application, 10 essential questions for racial equity policy.
And that's huge. That's huge. Let's go. We really should have made this a whole show.
We can. We'll come back again.
Say that. And so the next guest I'd like to have is Claire Watson. And Claire, I think you're on the line, right? And you're with the Associated Black Charities Workforce Strategist. And you'll talk about the program side of the Volunteer Career Mentoring Program. How you doing, Claire?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Tell us a little bit about your sector and what you hope what are your goals and your hopeful outcomes?
Sure. Well, like as Diane said, one of the major goals for the VCM, Volunteer Career Mentoring Program, is really to connect low-wage working individuals to mentors who can serve as a guide for them as they navigate their career journey, as well as provide access to other networks within that mentor's network. So we host a mentor training where any individual that's interested in serving as a mentor can complete an all-day training to really learn what it means to be a mentor, not a coach, not a counselor, but a mentor, what that means in the large sense and what that means for ABC as a mentor for us. We have a structured curriculum. It's six to 12 modules where the mentor really understands the tools that they need to be effective in their role as mentor. And then we partner with workforce organizations who identify their working graduates that are interested and ready to receive mentorship. And so we make that pair match based on gender as well as interest in work industry. We help them connect with each other, and then we follow up on a biweekly or monthly basis, really checking in with the mentor and mentee to make sure that they're following the guided curriculum that we provided for the mentor. Every month, the mentor will provide an update to our staff about the progress that they're making as a way for us at ABC to stay engaged with the mentor-mentee pair, as well as to track the progress. And the ultimate goal is that the worker stays attached to work, but also has the skills and the tools needed to advance, whether that's within the company or that's in another career opportunity.
But you're setting, laying the foundation for him to he or she to be able to do that.
Correct.
And that's really powerful. I'm going to move on to Eric Ford, who is the ABC mentor, volunteer career through the Volunteer Career Mentoring Program. And we have Eric here in the studio. Hi, Eric.
How are you doing?
So you stepped up to volunteer your time and talent to change economic outcomes for adult workers. How is that going? What were you doing before to make you feel that this was so important for you to be involved in?
excuse me. Well, in my career, I worked for the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, the Choice Program. So I was already doing the work, so to speak, as a career. But I was coaching basketball. I coached at Patterson High School for a few years, and I coached a basketball team, travel basketball team, that was financed by Terrell Suggs. And I felt like I just needed something more, an experience where I had some longer interventions with young people. So I signed up for the program, and out of randomness, I got a kid that attended Patterson High School, and I remember seeing him a few times because he played on the JV basketball team. So that was really good to see him again. But I know it's cliche that people say that the experience meant more for them than it does the mentee, but I think that really rings true for me. It really gave me a reaffirmation that all young people need, is confidence and unconditional love. They just need someone to talk to, bounce questions off, problems that they're having, just so they can, process stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of our conversations just centered around our personal views, his personal views, things that I've went through with my own children, kind of compare and contrast, and that helped me to process some of my own decisions and question some of my own decisions. So it was really a growth opportunity for me as well.
What did you think was, if you were to say there were two things that are your takeaways in a mentoring environment for other people who might be listening that would want to be mentors, what would they be?
Two things I would say: don't judge.
Huge.
Yes, because people come with their own experiences and their own backgrounds, and we all go through our own things. So it's about helping and supporting each other. So just enter that relationship with an open mind. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I would say just be consistent and be there for them.
Did you say be consistent? What does that mean?
So that means. You have to set the example. So if you say you're gonna meet a person at a place, be there on time.
But you do for meetings, right?
Absolutely. Because the last thing that you want to do is to be another person that let this young person down.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to perpetuate that cycle. So if you say you're gonna be there, be there on time, and just be there for the long haul. That's what the consistency is about.
That's very powerful. I think too often we think that we can be dismissive of their kids. They don't care. They got other things to do. They're not really interested anyway. And in fact, that's not the case.
Right.
In fact, they're probably really looking forward to it because it might be the only thing that seems consistent in their lives.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Well, I really congratulate you. And it's really powerful. And it's not an easy task, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
So when we want to go next, because we're rolling through this, Mimi Radere Vaughn, who is the co-chair of the Associated Black Charities Gala and a board member, but she also owns and CEO and founder of Radere Travel. And then you have a school online and in person. You just stay busy. I don't know how you find all that time, Miss Mimi.
I find it.
does she?
Yeah, I find the time.
So just so you know, I've known this one for a while. So they don't tell her what will come out of her mouth. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me,
Mimi
Radere Vaughn, and ABC. Our gala starts June the 10th at 7 p.m. at Martin's West, and we have a networking reception. We have a wonderful dinner. We have a casino that Radere Travel sponsors. We have live music.
Let's get that in there.
Right. Live music so you can dance and believe me, there's a lot of dancing there. And we have surprises. I don't know what the surprises are, but I'm looking forward to them. So it's really important. This is where we make our money. We have tables available for 10.
No, you can't price.
Oh. We have a lot to offer, and we're thrilled to invite everybody there. Is that good enough?
Well, I think it's really important. And the reason why we're here is that too often we forget what people are really doing in the community and how impactful. And when we look at nonprofits, particularly in this climate, we have to be very clear that it takes our communities to make things happen. Mm-hmm. All associations and nonprofit organizations that are doing, rolling up their sleeves, going into the community, they really have to do this. And so you'll see a lot of nonprofits on my show, and they got to come with information because they're going to share with you why they're so important, why they're critical. But we have somebody who is actually being honored, and she is the new president, Schatzel, President Schatzel, Dr. Kim E. Schatzel from Towson University, and she is the recipient of the Champion for More in the Middle Award, and this award is set aside for individuals and organizations who are operating at the local level to bring about change that will lead the greater economic equity in the region. And prior to her leadership at Towson University, the university had struggled with issues of inclusion, diversity, and equity. And under her leadership, diversity, inclusion, and cultural competency became one of her top 8 priorities. And as a priority, she instituted a very clear and transparent strategy to being about measurable change. Doctor, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Marcia. Thanks so much for having me. And hi,
yes.
Diane. I want to say hi to you as well.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. We're very excited about this recognition for the university. I think you might have mentioned the fact that I spent 20 years in business before I became an academic. And in coming to Towson, coming to the Baltimore area, learning the fact that Towson University is the second largest university in the state, as well as the fact that it's the largest public university in Greater Baltimore, it's all about talent. I mean, we're a talent pool provider to this state. And as any business person will tell you, the organization with the best talent wins. And in a global economy, we're talking about inclusion and diversity. So as a hallmark and as a presidential priority of mine, we place diversity and inclusion at the center of a Towson University education. Hmm. So if our students learn to thrive and learn to support others to thrive in a diverse and inclusive environment, I got to tell you, they're competitively advantaged when they leave. They're better prepared to be leaders. They're better to step into a global economy, both within the state as well as in the nation and internationally. And the reception that we've had on the campus has just been embraced, and it really is something that we're very, very proud of, and we've committed to be able to make those kind of long-term investments to be able to have us be a thought leader in higher education for inclusion and diversity in this nation.
I have a question, though, and I think that what is fascinating, you came from, I think, Michigan?
Yes, I did.
And so is that Eastern or Western?
I was at Eastern Michigan
Eastern.
University, and prior to that, I was at the University of Michigan Dearborn. I was a business school dean as well. So, but prior to that, I spent 20 years in corporate and served as the CEO of a multinational company. So
I love it.
I've been blessed with 2 careers, and I got to tell you, talent is at the crux of so much of what we do, and to be able to supply that type of education to our young people is what we want to be able to do.
How did you really come up on the fact that you needed to deal with diversity and inclusion on that campus?
Well, I actually, as I said, when I came to campus, I went on a listening tour of campus.
Mm.
And that just wasn't on campus. It was also dealing with business and community partners. And the issue of inclusion and diversity was something that was brought up. And we talk about diversity. Towson's 40% students of color. But there's a difference between diversity and inclusion. And inclusion, as we all know, is having all voices heard in terms of the culture. And I like to talk about, as I said, thriving inclusion.
Thriving. Did you say thriving inclusion?
Thriving inclusion, where our students learn how to thrive in an inclusive environment, and they also support others to thrive in an inclusive environment so that they are working with their colleagues and their teammates when they go out to business to bring out the best and to have everybody realize that fullest potential. Because that's all about success, is having people realize their fullest potential.
So, you know, when you're taking a ship, and you're taking this ship in the middle of the ocean. How did that work with, you know, sometimes I've been in organizations where you go in to do this organizational development and restructuring, and it's really hard to move because people have been doing things the same way for so long. How were you able to get people to come on board and join you in these goals?
One is, I think tone at the top is tremendous. In terms of being able to speak to it, and presidents have bully pulpits. But I have to say the fact that as soon as I started speaking about it, there was so much support that was at the campus to be able to come around it. We also made an investment. I've hired a vice president of inclusion and diversity on the campus to really work with everybody to be able to bring the resources to
Doctor,
bear.
Doctor, I like you.
Yeah, so we've done that. And we're the first within first traditional campus within the University System of Maryland to make that kind of investment and bringing that type of expertise to campus. So we have resources, and we're looking to make the commitments in those resources. And I think that's what people sense is, are we going to walk the walk
right.
the talk? And we definitely are.
So have we put in some sort of measurement for this, or is there a way to do the measurement? How do you measure? Is it through employees? Is it through hiring or dealing with contracting, subcontracting? Where are you doing those measurements?
Right. One is you're dealing with numbers. How diverse is in terms of your faculty and your staff and the higher education, I can tell you, is the fact that we've got challenges in terms of those aspects, in terms of underrepresented minorities within our faculty. And that's a national issue.
Okay.
So to be able to create changes in that is going to be a long-term process that we need to commit to. But we're also talking about education, cultural competency training, and that's going to be within the faculty, staff, students, and my senior leadership team. So it's something that we talk about every day. And I have to say, that's why I hired a vice president of inclusion and diversity, is that when my senior leadership team is talking about any decision that we make, that we are talking about the fact of how does it affect diversity and inclusion on our campus. So every decision that we make, we consider that as part of the decision. And I think that's a very important part of making progress in this area.
You know what? This is huge, and I'm very excited about what you're doing, and hopefully you'll come back and give us a report card.
I'd love to be able to do that.
I would love for you to be able to do that. That's wonderful. So I'll look forward to seeing you and meeting you and welcoming you to Baltimore.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful, and I really appreciate the opportunity as well.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled with the recognition that the Associated Black Charities has given in Diane for Towson University. For looking at the fact that we are doing something that is so important in terms of this community.
And you have a little jewel over there on that campus, and that is the dance department, Linda Denise Fisher-Harrell, who has Ailey Camp.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're looking for wonderful things with you there.
Absolutely. Yes, we certainly do. She's a terrific faculty member. It's a great department and the programs that they have.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, this is exciting. Dr. Chantel, and she's the president of Towson University and an honoree for Associated Black Charities Gala for Diversity and Inclusion. And I can't think of a better recipient, Diane Bell McCoy. This is serious. But what I want to be able to do now is to bring two other young ladies. See, we're young ladies. We're just young. Mm-hmm. Dorcas Gilmore and Avis Ransom. And it is, you all have to subscribe to my newsletter, so then you'll get all the bio. Because, see, we just try to talk while we're on the air, and you have to get the paper to get all the information. But they're running the Black Worker Center, and they're leading the center and making a difference in changing the economic outcomes of the city. So tell us about that and your relationship with Associated Black Charities and why this is all so important.
Thank you. Hi, this is Avis.
Hi, Avis.
So Associated Black Charities has been in the forefront of dealing with the wealth gap between the races, and has initiated conversation and initiatives, programs, and so forth. There is a wealth gap, and so earnings contributes to that significantly. And we know that there's a problem. We see it. We talk about it. However, there has not been a black think tank, so to speak, that really analyzes the status quo, understands the nuances, and there are many moving parts. Diane talked about structural racism. There's so many different components. There's where you live. Redlining contribute to that.
Yes.
There's education. Underfunding contribute to that. There's urban development. Again, destruction of homes, not replacing them and building them and so forth. So there's a history that has to be considered in understanding the status quo and in identifying interventions and solutions to the problem. So the Black Worker Center is something that was new. Dorcas was involved with its national creation, and I'm going to turn it over to her to talk about the mission and the vision of the Black Worker Center. But we are a group of people who are talking to and working with the black workers in Baltimore on the street, on the corners,
really?
Going to churches.
So you're doing an assessment.
Assessing, organizing, understanding, because they've got the heavy lifting to do. Changes have to be made in many different areas, in the employment arena, in the job placement arena, in training arena. But folk who are seeking employment and want to do well have got the heaviest job to do.
And so you are an honoree for all of the work that you're doing for the gala.
Yes, and it's quite an honor. Mm-hmm. It's no small opportunity to be honored by an organization like Associated Black Charities for the work that we're doing in the communities. And there is a role for everybody.
Well,
there's a
need
for everybody.
Looks like you
need
volunteers, too.
We definitely can use
mm-hmm. We're just
all
say
hands
that out
on deck.
Loud.
All
yeah.
hands on deck.
So now, Dork, you're here with us. And so what is your role with the organization?
So Avis and I are both a part of the coordinating committee mm-hmm. for the Baltimore Black Workers Center. And the mission of the center is to really build the grassroots power of black workers to promote racial and economic justice in our communities and in our workplaces, mm-hmm. and to directly address the dual black jobs crisis. That when we talk about...
Wait a minute. What'd you say? Dual black... What?
Dual black jobs crisis, which okay. is to say that when we look at black communities, the crisis of jobs is both unemployment and low wage work.
Okay.
And so we talk about that in terms of a dual crisis. Mm-hmm. And that we believe and know that when black workers organize and speak for themselves and we listen and have policies that are driven by their experiences of work, of housing, of transit inequity, that substantial changes happen. And that is the history of black collective action. And so in that same tradition, we are beginning by listening. We've surveyed over 200 black workers, as Avis said, on the streets, in markets, listening to what does it mean in 2017 to be working while black. Mm. And
that sounds like a thing. That sounds like a hashtag.
It is a hashtag, actually.
Wow. That's
it is deep. A hashtag.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Underworked, overworked, underpaid, mm-hmm. marginalized.
Mm-hmm. And there are
and
a lot of
dynamics. And that happens in a lot of institutions in this nationwide. Mm-hmm. So how do people get in touch with you all?
So we have a Facebook.
Okay.
Baltimore Black Workers Center.
Okay.
And we also have a website that's about to be released. And do we have a phone mm-hmm. number we want to put out there?
Well, give it to us now because you're going to
yes.
wrap it up.
So we will have a website shortly that will be BaltimoreBlackWorkersCenter.org.
Okay.
And our phone number is 443-863-8190. And you can reach us there or, as Avis said, on Facebook.
Well, listen, thank you, ladies, and congratulations for all your work. This is really wonderful. I do want to learn more about you when we have
Great.
A little bit more time because I think it's really powerful. So this is the end of the segment. It was really fast. The gala's coming up. It's June the 10th. Don't miss the premier event honoring national organizations, local business, civic partners who support the goal of ABC for economic and health equity. You're listening to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews, and you can go to abc-md.org. I know it by heart. Now you know there's some more than that. We'll be right back. We got a whole nother show on the back half. Welcome back to Keep It Moving with Marcia Jews, WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. Well, we are here on the back half. That front section went fast. That was a lot of stuff to roll in, but it was really good information. We've got really great information with us here. We've got Cherie. I called her Cher, and I've been knowing her forever, so y'all excuse me. Cherie Good, she is the founder and CEO of the 7th annual Let's Get Serious and Recharge Health, Wellness, and Fitness Expo. And it's coming up May 27th, the DoubleTree by Hilton, Pikesville. And this is so amazing because it's all free. And what she's doing is I'm not going to Why am I telling you? I'm not going to read this. I got you sitting right. Why am I going to read this?
Hi, Marcia.
Well, first of all, it's wonderful to see you. This is a seventh year.
Yes. Time is flying.
I remembered when you did it. Have I been here that long?
Yes, you have.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's scary. Seriously, I didn't even think about how long I'd been here. I said, I knew the girl when she started this.
Yes, you've been supportive ever since the beginning. I still love you for it.
Oh, I love you. This is fabulous.
Yes.
So how's it going? Tell us all the nuance, because you always have really cool stuff happening.
Yes, it's just a day full of family fun, high energy. You can actually get a whole physical assessment done right there at the expo for free. Mm-hmm. Kaiser Permanente is partnered with us, and they're going to have their Winnebago there doing health assessments, as well as Colgate. They're doing their dental screenings for the kids.
Cool. Great.
So, I mean, every area is going to be touched. We work out all day long. So from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can get it in.
A workout.
Yes.
So now when you say family, what does that mean? You're bringing mom and dad and
mom,
the kids?
Mom, dad, grandparents, the kids,
really?
The entire family can
is
come.
Is it all done in one room, or do you have breakouts? How does it work?
We take over the entire Hilton that day, so they don't have any space left. It's all we've reserved all their space, so all the ballrooms and rooms, we reserve it for the expo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I'm sitting at home, I want to bring my son or daughter, am I going to be in the same room with this person, or do you have adults to watch? What's going on?
No, everybody's together. The kids work out with us, with the adults. We have Beans and Frank. They are cartoon characters who they actually have exercises geared towards the kids. Mm-hmm. So the kids can get out there and have fun. We have face painting. We do henna. It's fun, but it's also taking a serious look at your health, wellness, mm-hmm. making sure you're taking that time to put in some energy to take care of yourself.
So when we talk about expo, then it says to me that you have people who are not only just doing the assessments and the teeth and all of that,
right.
but you have other vendors who are there. And what all are they going to have available?
So we're going to have healthcare products, of course. We have a variety of vendors. So over 50 vendors will be there. If you're a shopper, you can shop as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just skincare products. We have celebrity hairstylist Keith Harley. He's going to be there giving us some tips about hair, especially as African-American women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to exercise because we don't want our hair to get messed
right,
up.
Right.
So he's going to give us some tips, and he's going to have his products there to really teach us about scalp and skin and hair care.
So you're a registered nurse.
Licensed practical nurse,
okay.
Yes. And certified in hospice care.
Yeah. All right. And so what made you really decide to do this? Why was this so important to create this expo?
Yeah, I've been a nurse for 26 years, so health and wellness is my passion. However, what sparked the expo was the untimely death of my dad. He died, it's been 7 years because I started it after his death. So he died from a heart attack in his sleep at the age of 59 on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a shocker to our family. And I felt like we really missed something because as far as we knew, he didn't have any health issues. And so, you know, men are the last ones to go to the doctors normally.
Mm-hmm.
So doing this expo helps, you know, families to come out together, take a serious interest in health together, not separating. Because you need a support system if you're trying to have health goals and you want to be fit. You can't just do it one person in a family. Everyone has to be supportive and pitch in and keep you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And so this expo does that. It teaches you new ways, takes all the excuses out of why you're not exercising, why you're not eating healthy. We have chefs that are going to be there actually doing demos, and you actually get to eat the food. Yes, my favorite part.
But I would imagine that the food is going to be something that's dietary or healthy,
yes,
right?
Yes, healthy. You're going to get healthy food samples, healthy cooking demos. So, you know, using the vegetables, making sure that we're watching the fat that we're using and things like that. So we have, we're even going to have healthy barbecue.
What?
Yes.
What is that?
Healthy barbecue.
Wait, what kind?
We have Chef Terrence. Chef Terrence is going to make, he has a healthy barbecue sauce that he makes that's not fattening at all. So he's going to teach us that. So I'm waiting for that one.
That's
so
funny. So now it starts at what time?
11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, that's a full day.
It is a full day. And we work out from the beginning to the end. We do power workouts.
Mm-hmm.
So 30-minute segments, and you get a taste of every different type, from Zumba to Soak Aerobics to kickboxing. My hubby will be doing that.
What's that?
Soak Aerobics is more your Caribbean music.
Okay.
And they have the flags, and they wave the flags. But it's just... High energy.
Oh, see, I've never heard of soca.
Yeah, like soca. It's
but
like
I'm not
dance.
I'm not into. I haven't really been into to getting my physical self in order. So maybe right. I need to start with you. Come there
yes.
and at least get the warm up
exactly.
for all of these classes,
right.
and then get ready to make a change in the spring. So the summer I'll
exactly.
be ready.
Exactly. Get a taste of everything that's out there. We're doing work. Mm-hmm. W-E-R-K, that's another exercise.
What is it? Is it like twerk?
It's like, I love Marcia. I love her. it's some moving. It's definitely some movement of the body, but not twerking, but
okay,
working.
Okay, because I'm trying to do the twerk.
I think soca aerobics is more like twerking than work is.
There's something wrong with that psychiatric. Just, what is it? The psychoiliac or something. Whatever it is on the back, girl, I can't do it. Sacroiliac. I can't do the twerk thing.
It's working and twirling.
But we'll try to work. Is
right,
that like
right.
an abbreviated version? Is
that- yeah, I'll leave it like that. I'm leaving that alone.
That's something for everybody.
Something for everybody.
But you also, I see down here that... you are doing a healthy credit education.
Yes.
So that is really yes. important, too. So you'll have a booth set up for that. When you started looking at all of these vendors, it looks like you're really trying to deal with a holistic approach to yes. how people are going to come in. And so it's not only their health, mm-hmm. it's the physical health, but the mental health,
yes.
as well as their financial health.
Yes, yes. And so it's a total package.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if one part is not being treated, you know, you're going to fail. So financially, if you're someone trying to buy a home, we have the Mortgage Queen is going to be there. If you're someone who wants to start a business and you want to get into franchising, one of our sponsors, Pro Global, they're going to be there talking about franchising and how you can get into the franchising business.
Mm-hmm.
So we touched on all different areas. So, you know, you're a total person. Treat the whole person.
Yeah, but that's really important. Mm-hmm. And we just had somebody here talking about workforce and some of
yes.
the issues with Associated Black Charities, some of the issues that are going on in terms of employment and mm-hmm. development for employment and workforce development. But the reality is that we also need to be talking to people about entrepreneurship
yes.
and how do we get people to own their own businesses? I mean, we used to have whole streets full
right.
of neighborhoods full mm-hmm. of Black businesses. And we need to encourage that because certainly that's where all of our Black employees or potential mm-hmm. employees to hire people in the communities
yeah,
around them.
And teaching our kids early, starting early to
mm-hmm.
teach them financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a necessity.
So, I do want to, I think this is really important. How do people get in touch with you to learn more about how to get there or whatever, to just see all the goodies that are going to be available?
They can register online, letsgetserious2017.eventbrite.com. That's letsgetserious2017.eventbrite.com. We do have a couple vendor spaces still available if anyone wants to get in, but you better hurry because we're almost sold out.
Mm-hmm, and this yeah. is at the end of the month.
Yes.
But I also want to talk about the fact that you also are a public speaker.
Yes.
And I don't want to ignore that because that's a very important part of what you do. I don't know how you have time to do all it. But how did you get into this speaking environment and why did you feel that it was important for you to speak, and what do you primarily speak on?
I've been dubbed the recharge strategist. I used to be the stress manager, but, you know, people don't like the negative connotation behind the word stress. So we had to tweak some things.
Okay.
So now I'm the recharge strategist. I teach the importance of self-care, especially
mm-hmm.
to women business owners, women entrepreneurs, moms in general.
Right.
Because we give and give of ourselves, but we oftentimes neglect the one person that's the glue in the family, and that's
mm-hmm.
ourselves. And so I teach women in particular how to put themselves on their calendar.
Right.
How to put yourself on your calendar, not just your meetings, not just your kids' appointments, but how to put yourself, even if it's just for 10 to 15 minutes a day.
What do I put on my calendar, though?
Me time.
What do I do?
You can just stay in the moment, which means you can just sit there and in your car extra 10 minutes before you go in the house, take breaks between the roles that you perform in life. So, you know, if you're like me, my son plays football, he runs track, we're all over the place. So, you know, I have to take breaks in between so I can give him the best version of mommy that I can give him.
That's powerful because I never did that.
Yeah.
I just went roll right in from one to the
yeah.
next. That's very important. And so, and it just means to breathe.
Yeah, breathe, take a break, switch hats. you know, and sometimes to switch hats. I used to hide in the closet. I used to run in the house, hide in the closet for 10, 15 minutes, and the kids would run around. They'd be like, where's mommy? Where's mommy? I know she's here. I see the car. But I needed that time just to regroup. You know, before, because, you know, especially as a nurse, you know, especially as a nurse, you get some days that are rough and you need that break in between so that you're able to now be a nice mommy.
How long would you stay in the closet?
Like 10, 15 minutes.
Really?
I would just sit on the floor in the closet.
Just enough
to woosah. And just get ready for the next role. Now it's time to be mommy. Now it's time to be wife. Now cook dinner. Things like that. So you have to take breaks or you're juggling it all together and it ends up being encumbersome and you end up stressed out.
That's a powerful statement because I don't do that either. Yeah. I just go from one thing to the next, and then I'm crazy by the time I'm so wound up. By the time I get in bed, I can't go to sleep.
Right.
Exactly. And it's because I haven't been breathing or letting my brain breathe.
And we don't plan sleep.
Right.
We have to prepare for sleep.
Wow.
So I teach that as well. How do you prepare your body for rest and sleep?
So that sounds like a whole nother show. Because, I mean, seriously, how to prepare? Give me two tips.
Number one, make your room as dark as possible. So even something as simple as that cable light, that cable box light, throw a sock or something over it, because any light at all is going to interfere with your melatonin absorption. Melatonin helps your body to have a restful night's sleep. So sometimes we're in bed and we're saying we're sleeping, but we're restless. How do you get a restful night's sleep? Making your room, even the colors that you choose for your paint, to paint your walls,
have
an impact.
What are the two colors? What colors?
Soft grays. And like ocean blues, things like that. Not, you don't want to do your depressing blues, but you want to do soft blues or your soft greens. Those all promote peace and calm.
So it can't be white or it can't be beige.
Yeah, I mean, those colors are okay. But if you want to promote a better restful night's sleep, the soft grays and your soft greens.
I need to paint my room.
I need to paint my room too. My room is not painted yet.
Okay, so give us the website again, Sheree.
Let'sgetserious2017.eventbrite.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks, darling.
Thank
I'm
you so,
so
much for having
you're
me.
Here. Stay with us for a little while. We have Jeffrey Kendrick. He's a retired Air Force executive, and he's the executive director of the Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training, and selected for this position in 2014. And he is, having worked there for the past 12 years as the benefit counselor, he's now the facility manager and director of operations. And now what he's doing is working with them, and he's primarily making things happen. He's changing a lot of things that are going on and making sure that the mission of providing a vast array of comprehensive services to homeless veterans population. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. That was a mouthful. You sure you're talking
it
about
was.
The right person?
It was, but that's what they wrote, and I said it. I just read what they said, and
it
made sense
to
me.
We got to find out who wrote that. Yeah.
I know. I think her name is Sarita.
Oh, okay.
And she's here now. She's producing the show. She's our new production manager.
And she's on temporary hire, but I think I'm going to hire her now. She really built up that cred, so yeah.
Yeah, she did. I mean, there's a lot more, but I'd really rather hear from you.
Okay, sure.
So how'd you get into this business?
It's a long story.
Yeah, but you have an abbreviated version.
The abbreviated version is after retiring from the military, I was in information systems, computer programmer by trade, retired and came back to the States, started going on that fateful job. Let's go to another job fair.
Right.
And I went to a job fair and was doing that trek around, talking to different employers. And had one employer come up and talk to me and said, listen, I've got an employment opportunity at a place called MCVET, Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training. Would you be interested?
I thought it was a sandwich.
A lot of people say that. They think the acronym sometimes has something to do with McDonald's or something like that. But no, just plain old MCVET. But I went to the interview not really with the intent of sticking around for the organization that long. You know, I thought my calling would still be in information systems and computers. Went in as a benefits counselor for entitlements for homeless veterans. And somehow I got bit by that bug of trying to help people, you know, seeing somebody that needs help, someone that you can lift up. You know, I'm a veteran. We have a motto as veterans not to leave other veterans behind. So then you see veterans who have somehow ended up homeless. And then I got in that vocation of being able to help a man or woman and put them back on their feet. So before I knew it, 12 years went by, and I'm still there today.
But this is really powerful, and there are a lot of veterans, unfortunately, have given their lives, they've, you know, lost limbs and whatever, and they're home. I don't even understand how that's possible, that we could do that to veterans.
I wonder that myself very often, you know, and I sometimes think just not only military veterans that are homeless, but how about just homelessness
people,
in general?
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
I wish there was a magic potion you could just spread around and make sure if a person is about to end up homeless or you see them going down the roads that could lead to that, somehow you can be able to correct it.
And so, you know, what are you all doing? How do you find the housing for them? What kind of systems are you putting in place for this to
occur?
Well,
let's put housing at toward the end of the road
okay.
on how this process
okay.
works. Because what I found is that if you have an individual that is homeless, it's not as simple as just giving them a house, a
okay.
place to stay. There has to be a reason why they're on the street.
Right.
Let's fix that first.
Right.
We have found that if you take a person off the street and give them a house without taking care of the reasons that they were on the street,
no question,
they're not going to do quite well in that type of setting.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal at McVet has been very simple, to address the problems that the veteran encountered.
Like what problem?
Oh, my, there's vast problems.
Okay.
We find that well over 70% of the men and women who come to our problem have a problem with drugs or alcohol.
Okay.
And of course, we're a zero tolerance program, but it's not as simple as just telling somebody just to stop.
Right.
So we have case managers on site. We have aftercare groups, and we even host NAA meetings to address the particular
mm-hmm.
problems. Once that's been addressed, and you know that you have an ongoing battle with drugs and alcohol that will last you for the rest of your life, but at least you're taking the steps necessary to correct those things.
Okay.
Once McVet has found that you are, let's say, on the road to recovery, we then point you toward employment. We have employment counselors that are on site. We have money from the Department of Labor that we're able to do that. And then, after we say we've addressed the problem from the veteran on the street,
mm-hmm.
found them viable employment, not something that is more than just a livable wage, not minimum wage, something that will keep that veteran sustainable, then how about the key now? And then you get your own place.
So you help them find employment. You take them through training as well. Do you have partners that are in the city or the state or that can help you get jobs or do the training? How does that work?
We do. We form partnerships with companies and corporations here in the DMV
mm-hmm.
that actually help us in obtaining employment. And what we've been very fortunate is that a lot of the corporate sector is very, very possessive. And possessive may be the wrong word.
Mean?
Very, very. They're very, let's say, proud of the service that men and women have done for this country. They know that veterans have an innate sense that once they have been trained to do something, that you can count on that veteran
That's
to show
exactly
up on
right.
time and be able to do the work that is being
right.
done. So we've been
discipline.
Very fortunate. Discipline. Self.
Mm-hmm.
We like to call it self-discipline.
Yes.
But, of course, when we started out, was it really self-discipline? Get up. Go here. Do that.
Yeah, that's okay. But that's what evolves
it,
into,
it does
right?
evolve. And that is one of McVet's selling points, that we use that kind of structure and model for the men and women who come into our program.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that for those veterans that come through the program and are able to adapt to the type of instructions that we actually put out, they seem to do quite well once they go back to work.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to go back to the housing. Now that we know that there, it's a holistic approach
yes.
to the human being and making certain that they're whole as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you find their housing? Where's their housing?
Housing is that's that magic quotient that we're still trying to work with.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we have found is that, and I don't want to say it's just for Baltimore City, but there seems to be a lack of affordable housing for veterans or for anyone that's homeless. So what we've had to do is form partnerships with landlords and other people who have, let's say, something that goes beyond being in transitional housing or an emergency shelter, which McVet does actually have. Forming a partnership with these landlords, we've been able to secure housing for those veterans once we have, of course, identified that veteran is going to be quite well in the housing sector itself.
Mm-hmm. So when I look at there are a lot of vacant homes and things like that, are any of the veterans prepared to even learn construction? Are you doing anything with the city or the state in terms of some of these vacant homes that can be transformed?
Now, you know there's going to be people thinking you're feeding me these questions, right? Because they're coming right in line with what I'm trying to
do. Oh, well, I don't know. They just seem like the thing to do, for real.
But let's look at it this way.
Okay.
If you're a veteran, you have a skill.
Okay, yes.
All right? We all have skills as
That's
being
right.
veterans. So will veterans actually be able to build and put their own homes together? Absolutely. We at McVet have been able to put a lot of veterans into the construction trade themselves to be able to go back to work and do those kind
I
of
love
things.
It.
So what we found is that any man or woman who has served this country can do something. And what we found, most veterans are quite proud to be able to say that we don't want to be pitied. We don't want to be felt sorry for.
Right.
We just, okay, we had a setback. We got thrown off the straight and narrow. But now we have an opportunity to turn our lives around. And yes, I'd rather do for myself as opposed to asking for a handout. So
mm-hmm.
we're quite happy to see them do that.
So now here's a thing. Do you, when you talk about veterans, are these males and females or just males?
Males and females.
Mm-hmm.
What we have found, though, that the the number of homeless female veterans is actually on the rise.
Oh, really?
It is. It is. What we do know is that what we're finding now is that in most cases, McVet, unfortunately, does not have the capacity to take in a female veteran and their families. The number of those veterans who are homeless that are our family members, of course, is not available to those that would need those particular type of services. So mm-hmm. we've been very, very lucky that the women veterans that come into our program, we have a single room occupancy that the women veterans stay in.
Okay.
They I should mention also that you can be in our program for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that 2 year period, of course, you're getting those vast array of services. But what we find is the women veterans that come into our program are much more galvanized to get the services quicker and to hurry up and get back because why? They have the family members to rush back to.
So are you finding that some of these folks are dealing with psychological issues as well? And do you have, you know, the wherewithal to be able to assist with some of that?
Well, actually, what we have found is for that large majority of the veterans who come in our program that have problems with drugs and alcohol, there's still another problem that persists with battlefield trauma, sexual trauma, mental trauma, and things that have to be addressed. We've been very fortunate at McVet to have on staff master-level social workers that are well equipped to actually assist that veteran with that particular aspect of their problem.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, we've also started McVet, and this is something we just opened up this month, is our own intensive outpatient treatment portion of our program. So that when we have a veteran that comes into our program that presents a particular problem that must be addressed to correct that put them out on the street, we're going to be able to do it in-house as opposed to farming a veteran out to correct those particular problems.
Okay, and so one of the things that hold on one second. We have somebody who, the mortgage queen, is on the line. She wants to say something, I guess, about what we're talking about. Hello?
It's a great evening, Marcia. I just want to thank you.
Hi.
And the sir there for serving the military so well. We so need it in our community.
Well, thank
you. An important component that I must stress this. A lot of veterans have came out of McVet and are doing extremely well. Credit, as you know, is crucial. A lot of veterans, like myself, have not taken advantage of the ability to become a homeowner when they do not need any down payment. They're renting for $900, $1,500, $2,300 a month, when if they have an honorable discharge, they can apply for housing through the VA loan program, which I help specialize in, with no out-of-pocket money. That's really crucial. So it's by the time they save up for a 2 month security deposit and a rent, that's enough money for them to become a homeowner.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. So let's hear what you have to say, Jeffrey, because you're sitting here breathing.
Oh, well, I totally agree.
Okay.
And what we do at McVet is try to make sure that it's just as your caller just mentioned, that those services that are available to veterans who qualify for the
mm-hmm.
GI Bill, or I'm sorry, qualify for a VA home loan, are made available of those services just to make sure. But once again, I have to stress, it's not that quick rush to put a veteran into housing. It's got to make sure that at least for a homeless veteran, now I'm not talking about just those veterans who are not homeless,
right.
But for those homeless veterans, should we not take care of first those problems that were encountered
yes,
prior
yes.
to them qualifying for housing?
Mm-hmm. And so when we sit down and we look at what's going on with a lot of the veterans, you're seeing that a lot of them physically challenged. Are we trying to overcome some of those issues as well?
Vast array of challenges,
mm-hmm.
and that's a great point that you actually do bring up. But yes, we do. We have to make sure that those veterans that come in our doors are met exactly at where their problems persist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go back and look at certain eras, the Vietnam veteran era,
yes.
veteran is pretty much my father served in Vietnam. So we know that there was a time when veterans now would be in their late 70s,
right.
early 80s,
right.
that still persist and can still come through our doors and be homeless.
Wow.
They present physical challenges that must be addressed. And so McVet's goal, once again, is to make sure we put them in the direction to make sure they receive the adequate medical care prior, once
mm-hmm.
again, to being able to give them the key to their own place.
Do we have a VA hospital here?
We absolutely do.
Okay.
It's down on Green Street.
Okay.
Green Street. I'm thinking about the federal building that's
okay.
over at Hopkins Plaza,
uh-huh.
but the VA hospital is down on Green Street, yes.
Okay. Well, how can we get in touch with you? We're going to have to wrap it this quickly.
Sure, sure. I always talk about our website, but I've been told I'm old school when I say website,
uh-huh.
so I need to talk about my Facebook page.
Okay,
now.
Your Facebook page.
So we're at Facebook.com, McVet.Baltimore.
All right.
Does that sound right? I don't know if I'm saying Facebook
right. That sounds
right,
but we've got
Sarita here,
who can probably make sure that I'm telling it the proper way.
Right.
Okay. And then, of course, we still do have our website, which is up, and we've just relaunched our brand new website, which we're quite happy about. And that's www.macbeth.org.
And Sarita Sinclair is standing here trying to whisper what she's saying. You want to just speak into the mic?
I said, give the number, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were going to give the number. Yeah. So yeah. Go ahead. Somebody needs to say something because we're getting ready to roll out of this here.
Hi, if you're interested in volunteering or funding Macbeth, please give me a call. This is Sarita Spencer, and our number is 410-756-9626.
Yeah, and I called her Sinclair. I'm changing everybody's name today. Lord have mercy. So Sarita's here. We're really happy. Thank you very much, Jeffrey Kendrick and Macbeth. We're really excited about what you're doing. And we'd like to learn more because I think that too often we forget about our veterans unless we see them in war. But there are a lot of folks who are out on the street that really need our help. So this has been a full show, and we are here at the wrap. Thank you all very much, Jeffrey Kendricks and Cherie Good. That's her new married name. We hope you enjoyed it. A huge thank you to everybody, Associated Black Charities and their whole team. A big thank you to our team. I guess now we have Sarita Spencer, who is our new production videographer. Iori is the associate producer. Meredith, Sandy, Sharon, Mike Nice, Andre, Katanya, Peyton. To learn more about our upcoming shows and guest comments, we ask that you subscribe to our newsletter, Keep It Moving, MarshaJews@gmail.com. Like Marsha Jews on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is your host and executive producer. Be sure to tune in next week to Keep It Moving with Marsha Jews. We have George Frazier with us next week on WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and the voice of the community. Until then, remember to keep it moving.